Paul, I guess there's a report out there that Dustin's kind of contemplating his future and possible retirement.
We know that when you have a player ask for some time and privacy, then is paramount in all these. You just open up to all the speculation, and I understand that our options are to be completely forthcoming, and then we open up the question and answer period, or to do what is almost always done, and explain that it's a private matter. So I get it if you're going to ask the 20 different permutations of what would cause a player to ask for the leave, but again, privacy is of paramount, so I won't comment on any speculation.
Paul, have you talked to Dustin in the last, like, is there an open line of communication?
There have been a number of open lines of communication. Yeah.
When is this closed-ended? That's the wrong phrase, but
how do you go about it?
I'm trying to write it better than I say.
Yeah,
it.
No.
You know, is it tough for you to go about your day-to-day business, or it's just business as usual every day, even though you don't know when
it all falls under that blanket. You learn and are forced to learn over the course of every. You have players missing. You just do, right? So. This was kind of mentally dealt with a week ago at the start of the camp, and now it's no new. I've still got 46 guys at camp, and Dustin missed half the hockey season for us last year, so specific to him, we're used to of not having him in the lineup.
How do people get trained to that next man up mentality, Paul? I mean, you know, it's been around
the next guy's not going to war, right? That's a whole lot different when somebody gets the flu and you got to go to the line. The next guy gets a chance to play in the National Hockey League probably a little more than he was getting the day before. So as much as you miss the guy out, and when your top end is missing you over time, it's difficult to survive without those guys. But just keep in mind that the guy coming in is all jacked about his chance. So you're always aware that there's a threshold with that, and it's more of the guys that are in the lineup. The belief that you can win is critical on every given night. But if you're talking about two or three guys going down, the guys coming in's enthusiasm for that opportunity far outweighs the fear that you may not be strong enough to win on any given night.
So, Paul, and I'm not sure if you can share this, but have you prepared a short-term or a long-term plan for Dustin not being in the lineup?
No. I mean, you think about these things, but no different than Kyle or Patrick. I got a pretty good idea what our lineup would be tonight. If you want the final cuts, I can almost give them to you now. There's going to be some real competition for getting ice time, but you know who's on the club. So I always have a fairly good idea what that roster looks like.
Has he expressed that his days in the league may be numbered?
So I was pretty clear with what I said earlier, sir. I'd like you to respect that.
As for the game tonight, to start your first preseason game, splitting Mark and Blake, just a thought on getting a chance to see them with some other players tonight?
Well, there's a bunch of things that go into that. One is I'm looking at Adam Lowry and Andrew Kopp, and I want them to see the game slightly differently, get passes in different spots, right? When you put a guy like Blake there, the game's going to change for you. I also want to see Chibasov on the right side, and I want to see him with a guy that can move the puck in the middle. And so that's what that is. I'm looking at different people in the middle, so with different wingers. Probably I thought there'd be a 3-4-game threshold on this, and then we'll get back to what we know.
What about looking at Sammy Niku with Josh Morrissey, Paul?
Yeah, you know what? So we're going to have versions of two smaller defensemen at times playing together. I'd like to see Josh play with somebody that can move the puck. A lot of that truly has nothing to do with the play and everything to do with sitting beside the guy on the bench. So when Sammy Niku comes back with Mo and they're sitting on the bench and they're talking about a play, Sammy's going to learn from Mo. A really smart guy. There are some players that will play the entire game and really can't tell you what happened. There are guys that are just wired a different way. Mo would be a guy that can come back to the bench and tell you where the other nine guys on the ice were. So Sammy will learn from that. So the pairings sometimes, I'm not necessarily looking for chemistry on the ice in the exhibition game. Don't really care about it. I'm looking for get each of these guys, Lowry, with Wheeler, to think about the game a little. When they're on their bench, Blake's going to be saying, hey, I want you here when I have the puck there, and that'll be something new for him. And Sammy Niku, the same thing. When he's on the bench and Mo tells him, hey, when I touch that thing on my back end in the corner, I want you 4 feet off my left hip. So those are the things that these guys teach each other.
So that said about Morrissey on the bench, it feels like it wasn't that long ago we were talking about Morrissey going out with Lowry and what he could learn playing with a veteran like that.
You mean Buff?
It's
the exact same concept. Games in matter, experience, the small details that happen that are beyond the coaching routes, right? I'll tell you how where I want you to be, where everybody needs to be. Those guys are going to tell you where your hands should be, where your hips should be, and what to say when I get the puck. Call for it here. Let me know if you're there. That stuff you've got to be on the ice to process, and that's why always felt these players learn about those details so much more from the guy they're sitting beside on the bench. So if you've got a guy that's articulate, that sees the game well, Mark Letestu really fast picked up our systems in the first video session. He's already working with Bork on where those routes are. That's a huge part of bringing new guys in.
Can you tell me how quickly, in your mind, Morrissey's gone from being that guy who's getting paired with the vet to now being the guy that you can lead the young guys with?
So Josh's curve didn't fit anything that I've seen, I don't think, where you go from, I don't want to say question marks, but you play in the American Hockey League, and it's not like you play 40 or 50 here, and we know you're right there. So he went from the American Hockey League to 20 games into his first year. We haven't even shown him any video yet because we can't find him making mistakes. We can't correct much of what he does. So he's been at a real high, consistent level since the day he stepped in.
Can you differentiate, Paul, from last year when there really weren't too many jobs kicking around to this year where there might be? Can you differentiate the try level, the compete level of a guy like Cease or that ilk where they feel like there might be a chance? Is there a difference or is it always the same?
Oh, it's different. So you watch that second group that we had on. So keep in mind, so we put more of our veteran guys in the first group for pace reasons. We wouldn't have had any junior forwards returning. So these guys are all kind of pros up front. Those first 2 days, and I'm not talking about the skate testing, but those first 2 days, that's the hardest I've ever seen a group work. To the point when we came back the second day, I thought they were going to move in mud. They couldn't possibly give us 2 days like that. And then we threw a lot of them in that exhibition game. So there's heavy competition there, and first group's happier too. There's fewer guys wondering how many minutes they're going to play.
Paul, you mentioned yesterday you're doing some things differently in this training camp.
Yeah.
Can you expand a bit on that, on what and why?
Well, I would think, Paul, that there's you want something. That's what your summer is. Find the next thing that you want to get good at. What do you think you've got right with your team? Where are the areas that you want to get better? And then also what goes into that is your personnel changes. So everybody changes a bit over the summer. Where did you get stronger? Where did you get weaker? So we looked at four areas. And I told you guys day one, come out and watch our practices, and you'll be able to tell what drills we're running that we're trying to get to be really solid at. So we moved away from that kind of systems concept in the first 3 or 4 days. We pushed those more into the middle because there are a handful of guys that have run 5 years on that system, on the basics, right? We're looking at adjustments and areas of more aggressiveness. I guess it's probably I could have said that about a minute and a half ago. We're trying to find places so we can get more aggressive on the ice.
Hey, guys, Paul, can you just talk about the loss of Matthew Brose
here? His service today at 4, dressed appropriately. It's quite a bit faster. But, nobody can recognize the new guy, but he's much faster.